Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to look into your word, Lord, to study it and to learn and grow from it. Father, as we reference Pat's lesson on chapter 40, I pray, Lord, that you would bless and anoint this message. And I just thank you for the perspective that you're allowing me to give on this. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm taking my text out of Romans chapter 10. I'm going to look at verses 1 to 3. And I titled the message, Submitting to God's Righteousness. Charles Spurgeon said, the law is for the self-righteous to humble their pride. The gospel is for the lost to remove their despair. So instead of giving me rules, what God accomplished at Pentecost was a change of heart. Rules couldn't change us then, and they never will. We have to watch our righteousness and keep it in check because it's no good. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we have to submit to God's righteousness. Here in verse 1, Paul is actually speaking to Israel, to the Jewish people. And so I'm going to use them as an example. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, not according to God's word. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. This was true with Israel. In fact, Romans chapters 9, 10, 11 speak of Israel being set aside for the age of the church for the last 2,000 years. Well, even though it was for Israel, it's also true for us. I have witnessed people working in the church. I've watched them for years. I never saw any spiritual growth in them. The result? They had no spiritual discernment. Many people go to church and have no real discernment of what it really means to be saved. It comes down to the failure to distinguish our righteousness from God's righteousness. And it has fatal consequences. There are at least five fatal consequences of not distinguishing the difference between God's righteousness and man's righteousness. The first one, those who make it are satisfied with their own righteousness. Millions of spiritually dying people are woefully ignorant of their true condition. Jeremiah said in the Old Testament, our righteousness, or actually I think it was Isaiah, said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Instead, they're trusting in their efforts to paint over the surface of their lives with human morality. Some do it with sacraments. They think if they've been baptized or take communion regularly, they must be okay with God, since God himself commanded these things. Failing to see these are meant to be signs of an inward change, not the reality itself. And they're not something that adds up to God's righteousness. Other people try by charitable giving, or by giving their time to volunteer causes. They think these acts of righteousness add up to God's righteousness. And because they're satisfied with what they've done, they think God must be satisfied too. But they're failing to see that they are dying spiritually. The second fatal consequence, they look down on other people. Those who fail to distinguish between God's righteousness and human righteousness, and who are satisfied with their own righteousness, will look down on other people whom they suppose to have achieved less. Because they have no high standard by which to judge themselves, They assume they're somewhere near the top, that they've got it. This is one reason why, in our natural sinful condition, we refuse to look up to God in His righteousness. If we were to look up, as Paul was forced to do on the road to Damascus when he came to the Lord, what we should be most conscious of is how far short we are of God's requirements. We fall short of His glory. A good analogy is to realize that we are only light bulbs compared with the sun. It would be foolish to boast of being brighter because we are a few watts above someone else. Seeing the righteousness of God humbles us. It takes away all grounds of any proud comparisons. So what happens is we avoid it. We refuse to look up. And instead, we keep our eyes focused on other people and pat ourselves on the back because we imagine ourselves to be superior to them. The third fatal consequence, they resent Jesus and His gospel. When Jesus came to earth, it was as if God brought down to our level the righteousness we in our fallen state refuse to look up to or acknowledge. Even people who don't trust Jesus as their own Lord and Savior generally acknowledge that He was a good man. He was gentle, kind, loving, and continually doing good things. Why is it that such a person should be as hated as Jesus was? Hated even to the point of trial and execution. The only explanation is he was too good. He was too kind, too loving, too involved in doing good things. In fact, his good was of such a high quality that anyone with any perception at all saw it was something other than this world. It wasn't of this world. It was a divine righteousness rather than a human righteousness. It was unattainable and an intolerable offense to people who before Jesus' coming considered themselves to be good and better than others. But the self-righteous felt offended by Jesus. Someone whose true righteousness exposed the limits and falseness of their own. The fourth fatal consequence, they misunderstood and mishandled the law. Now, if we reject the revelation of God's true righteousness in Christ, and we suppose that we're doing well in our efforts to achieve our own righteousness, we are then going to use the law wrongly, misinterpreting it to require what we feel able to do, and then praising ourselves for what we've done. Following the regulations of the law was work and a burden. But this is what the Pharisees set out to do. And you know what? They believed they had accomplished that. Paul was a Pharisee himself before his conversion on the road to Damascus. He said of himself in Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said he was blameless. Jesus understood the law perfectly. Why? Well, because it was His law. That means if we follow His example to use it rightly, which we refuse to do if we're satisfied with our own righteousness, we'll see that we can never measure up to this or any right standard, and we'll turn to the mercy of God to save us from our sins rather than plead our own corrupt morality as grounds for God's approval. If we see this clearly, we'll acknowledge that we are condemned by whatever standard we choose, ours or God's, since at the deepest level we have all broken every right standard and will continue to do so. The fifth and fatal consequence, they won't submit to God's righteousness. This is what it all comes down to. The consequence of failing to see the difference between the righteousness of God and our own righteousness. It turns out we don't submit to God's righteousness, which means acknowledging that we need it and seeking it in Christ where it can be found. Paul says the people of his day pursued a law of human righteousness, but they failed to achieve God's true righteousness because they went after it in the wrong way. They trusted in their own righteousness. They thought if they had enough of it, their righteousness would add up to God's righteousness. Well, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Erwin Lutzer said, "Why did God abolish the law? Its standards reflected his righteousness. But the law as a system was replaced because it was powerless. It could not bring us what we desperately needed, righteousness." It's submitting to God's righteousness. That's what makes us the best person that we could ever be. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we've had with you, Lord, and I pray for those who may be listening, that it would enrich them, that it would bless them, that they would learn that our righteousness doesn't cut it. We have to submit to your righteousness. Go before us now, God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.